Americans like to see themselves as free thinkers, independent, and unencumbered by the philosophies of the old world. It would appear that in the last few decades, the moral superiority of capitalism defeated communism, and that the United States has proven itself as the world leader in economics and human rights. The reality is that many Americans are going through enormous changes in religion, political views, and concepts of morality that will affect this nation's future. These are the headlines. In a moment, we're going to look at the important news behind the headlines.
Welcome to the Good News Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. The Good News doesn't try to cover up today's problems. This is a program that dares to look at today's dilemmas and ask the questions that must be asked. It seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. Please join Gary Petty for a discussion of today's Good News subject.
Jesus was dragged before the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. Jewish leaders accused Jesus of committing treason against Rome by proclaiming himself a king. Pilate says to Jesus, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answers, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Pilate replies, "What is truth?" What is truth? Pilate may have said this sarcastically. He may have been stating a rhetorical question, since he and Jesus had been engaged in a somewhat philosophical discussion. Or it may be a weary comment from a disillusioned man who had become hopeless and cynical. No matter, for this question is vital to anyone who wishes to find reason and purpose to life. What is truth? We live in a society in which truth is seen as relative. What might be quote-unquote truth for you may not be truth for me. After all, truth is based on personal feelings, and to not accept the validity of feelings is to be narrow-minded and bigoted. Case in point, increasingly in our society, if someone doesn't accept the quote-unquote truth of the personal experience of the homosexual, then he is homophobic, a word implying mental illness. It wasn't that long ago that homosexual behavior was viewed by most Christians as immoral. Truth has become synonymous with tolerance. To not accept the quote-unquote truth of the personal experience that a woman has a right to govern her own body and to abort a fetus is to be oppressive. To not accept the truth of personal experience that sexual experimentation before marriage is biologically and emotionally healthy is to be at best Victorian, at worst trying to suppress nature itself. So, what is truth? Is it just subjective and different for every person? Or is it objective? Is there absolute truth? You know, many of the concepts of truth found in our postmodern Western world are rooted in revolutionary ideas of the 19th and early 20th centuries. A powerful 19th century concept is evolution, the theory that all life, including humankind, is the outcome of a natural progression from lower to more complicated forms of life. Charles Darwin removed the need for a creator and reinforced the idea that science is the arbiter of truth. A second philosophy that has shaped the thinking of most Europeans and more people in the U.S. than many would like to admit is communism. The effects of the teachings of Karl Marx on Western society is greater than most people realize, especially in our institutions of higher learning. The political system called communism has failed in Eastern Europe, but many of its philosophies are alive and well. Marx once said, "Society is not based on the law. Rather, law must be based on society. Any attempted assertion of the eternal validity of laws continually clashes with the present needs." This concept sees rules and boundaries as only means to an end. There is no absolute truth, only the shifting sand of moral relativism. Marx also referred to religion as the opium of the people and wrote, quote, "The basis of irreligious criticism is this. Man makes religion. Religion does not make man. Religion is indeed man's self-consciousness and self-awareness so as long as he has not found himself or has lost himself again. The abolition of religion as the illusory happiness of man is a demand for their real happiness. The call to abandon their illusions about their condition is a call to abandon a condition which requires illusions. The criticism of religion is this, therefore," Marx continues, "the embryonic criticism of this veil of tears of which religion is the halo. It is the task of history, therefore, once the other world of truth has vanished, to establish the truth of this world." Unquote. A third powerful influence is Sigmund Freud's psychoanalysis. This doesn't mean that there aren't many good therapists helping people deal with emotional and mental problems. But at the same time, it is difficult to underestimate the anti-biblical impact some in this field have had on our society. Many important psychological theories promote premises that see human beings only in biological terms. They ignore the biblical revelation that many human emotional problems are rooted in a sick spirit because of a broken relationship with God. Christianity has also been influenced by these philosophical trends and in some cases has been leading the way. It's not unusual for modern religious leaders to see the Bible as anachronistic at best. Others see it as downright oppressive. The secularizing of religion is even more pronounced in Europe than in the United States. These trends are also becoming more pronounced in the United States and Canada. David Palmer reports.
Gary, there was an article in a newspaper shortly after that tragedy at Columbine High School in Colorado. A letter to the editor, but the question was asked of God. God, why did you allow those students to be shot and killed? God's answer, because I'm not allowed in your schools anymore. There is a powerful message in that comment, and that message, it seems, is to tell God that he is no longer needed in our society, for indeed, in North America, we have banned God from the classroom. Canada's leading news magazine, Maclean's, features a picture of a female Jesus on its front cover, with the feature article, "Is God a Woman?" When asked why, this new third wave of feminism says it simply wants to bring spirituality into the 21st century. And a leader of this movement, a Toronto bookstore owner, says to take religion from its traditional male-dominated past and bring it into a modern, more secular society makes sense. A recent marriage ceremony took place at the Metropolitan Church in Toronto. Two couples were married, two men and two women, gay couples. Once I sign those documents, the marriage license is issued and the couples are legally married, said the minister, Brett Hawkes. We have in Canada and the U.S. today churches that are no longer churches in the traditional sense, but rather entertainment and social gatherings. We have a mixture of religious theology and philosophical concepts being taught as motivational seminars in the boardrooms of big business. At the same time, we have secularized many of our churches all across North America. Even some of our courts want to do away with using the Bible as the basis for which a person would swear to tell the truth. One judge put it this way, "Let's kick God and his book out of the halls of justice and substitute a simple promise to tell the truth." The reason? The current oath doesn't reflect our multicultural makeup. And so our countries continue to move in a direction that takes us further and further from the Bible as the basic foundation of our society, replaced by the more modern version of what might be labeled secular religion.
Christian churches once claimed to be the beacons of truth. What has happened? We'll be back with some important answers right after this.
Should you believe the Bible? What is this book really? Is it only a collection of ancient legends and myths? What about modern scientific discoveries? Do they disprove the Bible? These are crucial questions. Humanity faces challenges that threaten our very existence, yet all too often we ignore the one source that claims to have the answers. You can discover the truth for yourself in our free magazine-sized booklet, Is the Bible True? You don't want to miss out on this important information. Request your free copy today. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. So please call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org.
We have with us on a telephone hookup from Portland, Oregon, Good News writer Howard Davis. He's the author of a recent article titled Europe's Coming Religious Revival. Howard, welcome back to Good News Radio.
Great to be back, Gary. Very interesting and important topic. I've been listening.
Well, Howard, we've been talking about different influences on Western society that have created the belief that truth is relative. You have written about a European philosopher that has had a profound effect on Western society, including the United States.
Yeah, his name is Nietzsche, and he's a philosopher who coined the phrase, God is dead. He advocated a return to outright paganism. He wrote in 1886, God remains dead, and we've killed him. He lived from 1844 to 1900, and the last 11 years he was totally insane, and it's very interesting to look at his philosophy and see why. He was hospitalized in an asylum. Now, in the article on Europe I wrote for the May-June issue of the Good News, I pointed out Nietzsche's influence on the Nazis and the development of Adolf Hitler's philosophy. You said in the last segment that many people today don't understand the way the ideas that drive Western society were developed 100 to 150 years ago. People don't recognize Nietzsche's position in that vein. In many ways, his ideas are at the bottom of European and American culture as we really go into a century later. And Nietzsche was like his disciple 50 years later, a megalomaniac, Adolf Hitler, who declared himself one of the greatest men of the future, one who'd set forth the ideas that the world would silently revolve around.
Well, could you summarize Nietzsche's philosophy?
Well, I can certainly try to do that. He was huge in his output for about 20 years. We can break his ideas out into four major clusters, which are really academic studies today. And believe it or not, they're at the heart of all major university disciplines. Much of the great thinking of the 20th century really fall into four major categories of his thinking. The first is psychology. The second is the philosophy of media and art. The third is politics. And the fourth is a philosophy of religion, particularly against the Bible. In psychology, he redefined human nature and human thought. He said man is motivated by purely selfish and subjective emotional pursuits. There's no really an objective mind in the human being. The second major area, philosophy of media and art, really is amazing when you look at popular culture today. Nietzsche said that the artist is the greatest kind of person because the true artist is a pure creator. He said that there is no such thing as fixed values, a term he created from the color values on a painter's palette. That's where we get the term value today, values. The third area is politics. Now, as Nietzsche wrote and wrote, he understood the political implications into the 1880s. So Nietzsche's political ideas developed when he came up with the idea of the superior race or a master race, which he said would be Europeans. The fourth area of his influence is his philosophy of religion, particularly his attack on the Bible. Nietzsche said the Bible was the greatest fraud in the history of mankind, and that it had created the greatest psychological evil to humanity because it perverted the drives of human nature. He said that the Bible's assertion that the human mind naturally, with its lust for power and sex drive toward immorality is evil, is itself the greatest evil. He reversed all values. He intended to reevaluate all values and reverse what the Bible said.
But didn't he actually see himself as some kind of Antichrist?
Well, he wrote the book. Literally, 6 months before he went insane in 1888, he published a book called The Antichrist. He claimed to be an Antichrist, really the first great one, he said, which would be led a succession of Antichrists later would follow him. He meant by Antichrist a despiser of what the Bible said about God and Christ in both the Old and New Testaments. Nietzsche titled an autobiography written about himself, of course, 3 months before his total insanity, after he'd written the book The Antichrist. He titled it Ecce Homo, which is the Latin term for behold the man, which is the term in the Bible for Jesus Christ before the crucifixion. He saw himself as a replacement, or his philosophy as a replacement for the Bible and its view of Christ. In it, Nietzsche described how he got his ideas. This is fascinating. Nietzsche claimed he got his ideas for God is dead and his other philosophy statements while being overcome by episodes of demon possession.
What has been the effects of Nietzsche in Europe and here in the United States and society's concept of what is truth?
Well, it's been so sweeping, we don't really normally even hear of his name. And yet, underneath almost all of our popular culture today and much of what is taught about all these major fields at the university level is really his ideas. I'll summarize it by quoting Alan Bloom, who's a great intellectual historian at the University of Chicago. He's now dead, but he wrote a book in the last 15 years called The Closing of the American Mind. He put it this way: in politics, in entertainment, in religion, everywhere we find the language connected with Nietzsche's value revolution, a language necessitated by a new perspective on the things most common to us. Words such as charisma, lifestyle, commitment, and identity, and many others of which we use popularly, can easily be traced to Nietzsche, and they're practically American slang, both in Europe and the United States. We don't even realize we have ideas that are completely cut off from our forefathers. Nietzsche's idea that there is no literal God and absolute truth wasn't just his alone, but the way he popularized it, these concepts, and they were then made the intellectual fodder for all thinking, really now spiritually defines, I think, where our entire culture, even in the churches, is.
We'll be back with Howard Davis right after this.
Have you read any good mysteries lately? For too many, the Bible is a mystery book. They're puzzled by its odd-sounding language, unusual setting, vast array of characters, and sweeping time span. What are we supposed to learn from it anyway? For that matter, can you really believe the Bible? Many think it's only a collection of ancient legends, myths, and literature. Some think scientific discoveries have thoroughly disproved the Bible. But what are the facts? The Bible doesn't have to be a mystery book to you. You need to learn the answers to these questions. That's why we're offering this important material, Is the Bible True? Does the evidence contradict the Bible or confirm it? Request your free copy of Is the Bible True today. There is no cost or obligation. Call 1-800-966-9232. 1-800-966-9232. Are you tired of hearing nothing but bad news? Well, here's some good news. You can receive a year's subscription to the Good News Magazine absolutely free. The Good News Magazine isn't a Pollyannish cover-up of today's problems. It is a magazine that dares to look at today's problems and ask the questions that must be asked. The Good News seeks the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered in the pages of your Bible. Today's radio program is sponsored by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. Your free subscription to the Good News has already been paid. You will never be sent a bill or be obligated in any way. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. That's 1-800-966-9232 for your free subscription to the Good News Behind the Headline.
There is no doubt about the impact of Friedrich Nietzsche's philosophies on the history of Europe over the past century. We've been discussing this with Good News writer Howard Davis. Howard, how are Nietzsche's philosophies shaping Western society today?
Well, underneath all of our intellectual activity are certain assumptions about life. The biggest one is that God does not exist as a real person who literally speaks through the Bible that a Christ is not actually at a throne of God in heaven and watches every human being for a great purpose, which is good. That the law of God does exist is not in people's minds, because they have a completely different framework of thinking about life and culture and the purposes for their existence. So underneath Western culture, there is really no connection, even in many, many churches, to the God of the Bible, because we live where language and popular culture controls the mind, blinding us to the spiritual truth. This means that we're really open to all kinds of what we'd have to say are negative spiritual influences, and of course the Bible even talks a great deal about Satan, a devil, a spirit being who does deceive. And Nietzsche said that the terminology he got in his way of presenting life really was directly from that same source. Yet nobody believes that Nietzsche was speaking from a spiritual source. So we come back to the Bible's original themes of good and evil. Does truth exist? And unless we go back to the Bible, are not going to be able to understand our own manipulations, our own lack of perception, our own vulnerability to destruction, I'd have to put it.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you being with us today on the program once again.
Thanks.
Christianity is based on the belief that there is absolute truth. When we look at the Bible, we discover a number of principles about truth. First, truth is absolute by the will of the Creator. God not only reveals himself as the one true God, but as the one who determines and creates reality. Jesus says in John 4:23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Secondly, evil or sin is the enemy of truth. Truth is an understanding of reality. Truth determines morality and actions. A third point is truth is revealed by God in the life of Christ and in the word of the Scripture. In John 17:17, Christ prayed for his disciples, saying, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." Obviously, then, moral truth is contained in moral law or teachings given by God. Some of these laws are discovered, lost, and rediscovered in various cultures from generation to generation. During the time of Jesus, there was a great debate among the religious leaders about which laws given by God were the most important. A religious leader came to Jesus and asked him a question about these laws. We pick up the story in Mark 12:28. If you don't have a Bible, get one and follow along. Then one of the scribes came, and having heard him reasoning together, perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, "Which is the first commandment of all?" In Mark 12:29, Jesus answers, "The first of all the commandments is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one God. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like it. It is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This simple teaching by Jesus Christ is the basis of all truth. The Bible is God's revealed truth for you. It has never been more relevant than this present age. On today's program, we're offering free of charge, "Is the Bible True?" This 24-page, easy-to-read booklet shows the relevance of the Bible in today's postmodern world. It also shows how astronomy, archaeology, science, history, and fulfilled prophecy support the truth of the Bible. You can get your copy simply by calling the toll-free number 1-800-966-9232. If you would like to comment on today's program, you can contact Good News Radio on the Internet by emailing us at gnradio@ucg.org. Why were you born? There's a big difference between grasping your future and simply going on the way you have been. The choice, well, it's up to you. Join us next time when we continue to explore what the Bible really says about you and your future. For Good News Radio, I'm Gary Petty.
Should you believe the Bible? What is this book, really? Is it only a collection of ancient legends and myths? What about modern scientific discoveries? Do they disprove the Bible? These are crucial questions. Humanity faces challenges that threaten our very existence, yet all too often we ignore the one source that claims to have the answers. You can discover the truth for yourself in our free magazine-sized booklet, Is the Bible True? You don't want to miss out on this important information. Request your free copy today. Call 1-800-966-9232. There's no cost or obligation. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. So please call 1-800-966-9232.
Have you had about all the bad news you can take? Maybe you could use some good news. The Good News is a full-color, bi-monthly magazine that brings you the best news you can hear, and always from a biblical perspective. All literature on this program is provided free as an educational service in the public interest by the United Church of God. It is absolutely free, and there is no charge or obligation. Simply call 1-800-966-9232. The magazine is free. The contents are priceless. The number again is 1-800-966-9232. Or visit us on the web at www.ucg.org. You've been listening to the Good News Radio Program, presented by the publishers of the Good News Magazine. We seek the answers that must be found, answers that can only be discovered from the pages of your Bible. To receive your free copy of the literature offered on today's program, please call toll-free 1-800-966-9232. There is absolutely no cost or obligation. 1-800-966-9232.